Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I'm in a little bit of a dilemma because y'all have a lot of gotta go stories. And the closer we get to noon, the more uncomfortable I am putting them up here because, you know, people be eating and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate this from the 713 because we were talking about, we gave a little master's update as to what was happening. We'll get some more as we go. But 713 said, all that hullabaloo about Cam Smith, he can't even make the random master's updates. Shaking my head. Astros,
he hasn't
Cam
even
Smith,
started today yet.
Greater than golfer Cam Smith all day, every day. In your face, Lopez. Hold that.
The dude hasn't even started playing yet today.
Yeah, but where is he though?
He actually was okay. Wasn't he one under or even? I think it was even.
See, he don't sound confident either.
And yesterday when I seen the update, they did the update on the screen. Mm-hmm. Said Cameron Smith.
Okay.
He said Cameron Smith.
Okay, so because, okay. So, yeah, someone was mentioning he goes by Cameron Smith. I think he goes by both.
Yeah,
yeah, he gets Cam in there as well.
Yeah.
All right. A man that goes by Joe Flacco back in the game as we go around the NFL. He is reunited with the Cleveland Browns. Apparently, you can always go back home. In a way, and that is Cleveland. So, what was your first thought when you saw that Joe Flacco is returning? 1 year, $4 million deal, so very much.
Could make 13, which I'm guessing if he starts a certain number of games. It could go up to $13 million.
The fact that you have to, in the year of our Lord 2025, put in his contract, if you start a certain number of games, you can get this. For Joseph Flacco.
41 years old.
Damn bad. Man. But what was your thought when you saw Joe Flacco get there?
I'll keep it brief. LOL. Because it's not just, I mean, I respect the hell out of Joe Flacco. You know, obviously at that age, he was the guy the Browns wanted all along. Like he was the guy that they wanted all along. And then the LOL really is about Deshaun Watson. Remember yesterday or day before we were talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to be better than ever. Oh, well, you may not even be there.
I don't know that there. You think that the Joe Flacco is to that point. I know that
they have three quarterbacks.
To me, my first thought was, oh, they definitely ain't picking no quarterback with that number two pick.
Well, that's another thought I had.
And
there,
they might even wait a little later because it was the conversation of will they trade back into the first round and get a quarterback. I don't even know if that's happening now,
right,
man. They might get a project type of quarterback that can sit for a little bit.
Yeah.
On their well, you say they have three quarterbacks. One of them is Deshaun Watson, and it just feels like everybody that feels like a formality if I've ever seen one.
Technically,
right? Like
three quarterbacks.
That's like have you ever seen a dude who's trying to holler at somebody at the bar and they're like, I mean, yeah, technically I have a wife, but we separate. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like that, you know?
We don't really get along.
I mean, we just sleep in
separate rooms.
We really just here for the kids, honestly. It's not even like that. Like, that's what it feels like is what's happened with we got a quarterback, but it's really just the money that's keeping us there. We're not even really into him.
I'm
like
really
that.
Single.
Like, for real, for real?
Yeah.
If I'm being real, you know, we looking for a quarterback, to be honest.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, but it's Kenny Pickett. and Joe Flacco there. Yeah, it does feel like that probably, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe they could still end up, because, I mean, again, Kenny Pickett, clearly a backup caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, you take that one for four, that is a backup contract. Like, maybe you get to that when that 13, like, yeah. Maybe that, I mean, and is anybody expecting Deshaun Watson to be a starter or to be that caliber of player?
I don't know if he's going to play this year.
Right. And
like,
so,
injury-wise.
Well, he says he's going to be better than ever and he's been working out, but I don't think he's going to play because he's not going to play. Like, he's their number three quarterback.
And so, yeah, they
think about that.
They could still be in the running for a quarterback. I still am interested in whatever this flirtation is with Kirk Cousins that they have. Mm-hmm. That still feels like that's very much in play.
Yeah, I think now what's in play as far as the draft is like the Jalen Milroe or somebody that's lower.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think somebody like that, because I don't expect him to come in and start right away unless mm-hmm. he just blow everybody's skirt up or something. But yeah. I feel like they're going to look at a quarterback like that to kind of sit a little bit, just give him a little competition to see what he can do.
I do think it's also in play, as Figgy pointed out. You know, they're going to go Cam Smith number one, and then Travis Hunter to the Browns, and Abdul Carter.
You said who? You said who?
Cam one? Ward.
Okay.
I would say Cam Smith.
You did say Cam Smith.
There's more of them everywhere.
They're everywhere. Cam
Too
Ward.
Many Cams.
Cam Ward number one, and then Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. All of a sudden, the quarterback draft looks real interesting. In terms of where some of these other guys are going to go.
So you mentioned, you definitely mentioned Jalen Milroe. Did you see what Pro Football Focus had in talking about Jalen Milroe? Jalen Milroe has been this very interesting player, obviously accepted an invitation to the draft. And one of the things that I guess I neglected to acknowledge is that there's been folks that have accepted invitations to kind of be there. Also for like day two
sure.
stuff as well.
Sure.
And end up getting drafted later on. So I guess that's probably more of the thought process there, because I cannot see him as a first rounder. However, did you see, it feels like Pro Football Focus also very much can't see him as a first rounder at all.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see who they compared Jalen Milroe to in the player comp? Do you remember Quincy Carter?
Oh, Lord. How can I forget? First ever Texans win.
Yeah.
Quincy Carter was the opposing
That's
quarterback.
That's right.
That Quincy Carter.
Milroe got to get a cease and desist or something, right? Like, he's got to fight someone behind that, don't he?
Quincy Carter.
Right, like I definitely got to break out the Lank gear again, but like, ain't no way you letting people get out here and be like, you know what you remind me of, son?
Dude, don't even do a comp.
Don't even do a comp.
Yeah,
it's like, don't do that, because that is supremely disrespectful in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so speaking of causing a stir, like I guess we bounce around to the AFC North again. Pittsburgh, they are up in arms right now because of an arm that went up. Funny enough.
We're all doing it at the same
time. Yeah, TJ Watt.
Peace.
Chunked up the deuce for the North and the South.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
This last game.
He caused a stir because on social media, he put a picture of him putting up the two-finger peace sign
mm-hmm.
And with no real context.
And by himself.
Just by himself, yeah. Standing there, and people started going, oh, is he trying to get out?
Yeah.
Is he leaving? Like, what is happening here? Mm-hmm. And it is worth noting that he's entering the final year of his contract. Base salary, $21 million. Now, can you remind me, Lopez, what the average annual value was on the Myles Garrett extension?
Was it 40?
That is right. Yeah. It was. So, like, he is coming up on he is in extension time, right, when guys mm-hmm. typically look to get their deals done. And he is set to play on a deal that is half as lucrative as what the guy who is comparable in some ways is making on his next deal. I gotta imagine that this has a lot to do with whatever those negotiations are and whatever feelings he has towards the Steelers in getting those negotiations done already.
I don't even think you have to imagine it. I think that's what it is.
Just leaving room for the possibility that he was out here just like real happy about.
Everybody.
He's like, I want world peace, guys, or whatever that could be. But yes, it does feel like the strong probability is, hey, man, pay me my money.
Yeah. No, look, man, those Watt boys know how to be cryptic. That's for darn sure. they must go to a class or something.
It's innate.
It is, because something like that, I mean, it wasn't done by accident. This wasn't an accident. You know, hey, I'm just trying to say hello to everybody. No, that was done deliberately, and now everybody's going bleep crazy in Pittsburgh.
Now, with that being the case, and you know how betting is, they're going to come up with odds for all sorts of situations, even situations that are like not probable. Did you see his I think it was a Bet Online put out his trade chances, like where he could land mm-hmm. if the Steelers got to a place where they figured that they could not do whatever the deal is that would make him happy, yeah, it would be reasonable to expect that you then trade him, mm-hmm, and try and get value. Where do you think is the most likely place that he gets traded?
I didn't see this, so I'm just spitballing.
Yeah,
here.
I'm very glad. I did a good job hiding this.
You did hide that well from me. TJ Watt to the...
Think of teams in the draft that are really being attached to pass rushers.
I'm going to say...
Giants?
I'm going to say Green Bay.
Neither of those teams are in the top 10, funny enough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Titans?
Titans are sixth.
Okay.
It's 7-1 odds. No, fifth, rather, with 7-1 odds, mm-hmm, which that would not be fun to have him in division.
That would not be fun.
Right? Like, all right, Harold Landry, all that. Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. No, you see a TJ Watt. That's a little bit different, mm-hmm, of what we're talking about. No, not him. Not there, though.
Now, are these like lower tier teams?
They are, especially because they're trying on the come up. One of them is the New England Patriots. They have the best odds of 3-1.
I should have thought of that one.
Yeah, they've been tied a lot to Abdul Carter there. Yeah. If he gets past 2-3 there, mm-hmm, they're looking at someone like that. And then also the Seahawks have the second best odds. And this feels like this would be NFL malpractice if this happens. If Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles get the
That's what I was thinking. That's why I'm like, are these lower tier teams? Because they did want Miles Garrett, or that was the conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me if they would try to get TJ Watt.
Well, that would make me sick.
I would. Man, everybody would have to step in like, nah, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
So,
yikes.
Yeah, that's something that's happening. Mm-hmm. And, of course, social media induced. Don't you love it that this, mm-hmm, can happen? Some other things that are popping around the NFL. Did you see this draft prospect, Isaiah Bond,
mm-hmm,
turned himself in because, and let me make sure that I get this right because it's an interesting legal thing. He said that there are sexual assault allegations for him that he calls patently false, but there was a warrant out for his arrest in Frisco, Texas, up there in the DFW area. And he turned himself in. He was subsequently released after posting a $25,000 bail. But, mm-hmm, this has got to be the absolute worst time for something like this to pop up without saying anything about, like, what it is that he is accused of and, like, the sexual assault that he's accused of or, like, you know, any moralizing of it. Just the timing of this has got to be absolutely terrible.
I hate this when I saw it. I just hate this in every, you know, imaginable way. I hate it that the timing, which you just mentioned. I hate that I don't know, you know, no one knows, you know, outside of those investigating and those involved, you know, what to believe. What, you know, you never know anymore what to believe or where you might, you know, sort of be inclined to believe. It's just awful in every way. But, you know, you don't know what, you don't know where to go with it. You know what I mean?
Right. And yeah. I mean, especially at this time, and with the NFL has kind of taken a perspective where they like to see the legal process unfold before they, mm-hmm, before they try and respond to things. You're not going to get real resolution.
No.
I don't think, with this time. So, mm-hmm, like, I, not that this by any means is the priority in a circumstance like this. Obviously, like, the victims or the alleged victims matter in this a great deal more in trying to figure out what happened there. I don't envy any team that has Isaiah Bond on their board and trying to figure out what you do with that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't envy
that. That's what I'm saying. You don't know what to believe. You're going to have to ask some very difficult questions. You're going to have to do some research. It could be, you know, we live in a world where, you know, the accusations like this, and we've seen it multiple times, are sometimes basically trying to get something from someone, or they're legitimately real.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know where to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I say that about the NFL's MO of kind of sitting back. It seems like they are taking a little bit more of an aggressive approach, mm-hmm, when it comes to Tyreek Hill. We were mentioning the domestic dispute that had, mm-hmm, police called to his greater South Florida area home earlier this week. Apparently, the NFL is looking for the 911 audio from that incident. So they're going on the offensive in a way that it doesn't feel like they often do. It feels, mm-hmm, like that was like early Roger Goodell tenure NFL, where they, yeah, were like, we are going to be aggressive and, you know, rooting out bad actors or whatever. And I think they felt like they got over their heads with some of the trying to lay down the hammer and protecting the shield. It seems like they have as an organization, have fallen back and tried to allow other situations to happen. But in this instance, they're searching out for, they want to see what's happening with that 911 audio to maybe get more of an idea of what was happening.
I also feel that this is a result of what I mentioned yesterday. Like, you know, never know what to believe, as I just mentioned, but also with Tyreek Hill, there's just so much smoke all the time. They're trying to figure something out, you know, like, You know, because they don't need any, you know, legal rulings for fines and suspensions and such.
No, they absolutely don't. But yeah, there you go. That's around the NFL here on Friday in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, did Brian Windhorst just tell the Rockets and others that are hoping to get Kevin Durant not so fast? Well, I'll tell you what we mean next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We were just talking about around the NFL. Isaiah Bond turned himself in on there's some allegations that came up about sexual assault, and someone on the text line, the Jim Aller, the Texas Hammer text line. My bad, Jim. 713-572-4610 said, the news about Bond ensures he's just going to be available for the Chiefs. They're going to draft him and Worthy is going to then be another issue for the rest of the NFL. And I'm like, sounds about right.
Book it, yeah.
That does sound about right. Because the Chiefs, like, look, they have, I don't know, a lot of teams are like, zero tolerance policy. The Chiefs seem to be like,
we're good.
I don't know, keep it football.
Zero's more of a guideline than a rule.
And it's like, I mean, how about low tolerance policy? Yeah. Can we do that? Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, they went and acquired Kadarius Toney. They seem to be like, can you ball?
But honestly, when you a good team like that, man, you could put anybody on that damn team, man.
And you get away with it a lot easier.
Yep.
I mean, they have been getting away with it because, I mean, they went to the Super Bowl with some sorry line. Wide receiving corps at times. All right. But let's circle back around to these Rockets. Set for the playoffs. They're playing again tonight against the Lakers. I feel like we probably know that this is going to be a relatively light squad. I know that, and of course, as I'm going to say that, I forget, but somebody else has been ruled out once more. I'm not sure if it's going to be like the full complement of guys ruled out in the same way, but it seems like they've made their decision that they're going to kind of let the stay ready squad handle the rest of the way.
I like that. I've never used that before.
They've talked about it on various broadcasts. Yeah. And I think every squad in the NBA has to kind of have a little bit of a stay ready crew because you have guys that are, you know, not getting the minutes on the floor in games, so they have to, like, in order to do that, they kind of have these stay ready games, you know, 3-on-3 or 5-on-5s with, you know, coaches or what have you, or 4-on-4s, just to kind of keep them in some level of game shape. But regardless, either here or there, this team is ready to go to the playoffs. But I think for some, there's still an acknowledgement that, hey, adding that star talent, adding that person who you can have a little bit as a centerpiece, especially in those big moments, is going to matter a lot. We'll see if maybe they have somehow, you know, kind of circumvented that in a somewhat Oklahoma City Thunder type way.
Yeah.
When we get to the playoffs, however, Brian Windhorst was on ESPN yesterday. In fact,
yes,
and he had some kind of intel. He had kind of a perspective on the Suns and what they're doing with Kevin Durant that I think would impact the Rockets.
I don't even think they understand yet, and I don't think the fans are going to understand it yet either. When you look at this Kevin Durant trade, they're going to have to seriously consider trading Kevin Durant for flexibility. This is a new concept in the NBA. And I can understand you hear me say that and you go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, trade for flexibility? I want 4 first round draft picks. I want 3 great young players. I want a guy who's going to come in and be on all. No, I'm telling you, they're going to probably have to seriously trade Kevin Durant to get out of jail.
When I heard this, I went like, I don't get this. A lot of people said that. Then you start to realize where he's really going with this. And it has to do with, and I don't want to bog people down. I mean, this is your realm more than mine.
Oh, the CBA.
Yeah.
You got to have a law degree to like fully get into it. And the NBA has the most convoluted CBA because they're trying to keep maintain a competitive balance while also having like, you know, a smaller rosters and more impactful singular players, it gets really tough. But they've added this additional level where when it comes to, because it's a soft cap, right? Mm-hmm. So like you can pay over the cap. However, there's taxes to try and make those prohibitive, and they added layers of taxes so that it goes higher, as as they call it, where it goes higher. But not only do you pay more money in tax, but also there's some things that are prohibitive. You can lose flexibility and ability to kind of trade and accumulate different players into a trade where you can send multiple players out to get one. Like mm-hmm. Sometimes you can lose the ability to do that, or sometimes you can lose straight up draft picks. So teams want to stay below those aprons. It's helpful. And I think that the Suns have been in that place because Matt Ishbia, who is the new owner, mm-hmm. he just bought the team or bought into the team a couple years back. But he came in and he seemed to want to just throw money at things.
And he did.
And he wanted to just build a super team, as evidenced by, you know, the Bradley mm-hmm. Beal deal. They put Kevin Durant there, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and they're like, let's roll this out. And it has not worked for them. And they're sitting in that second apron area where it's getting more and more prohibitive. And it's, you know, the walls are closing in on your ability to make things happen. I think that's what Wynhurst is talking about when he talks about flexibility.
So let's not talk about, caps and apron one and apron two. Let's try to put it in regular terms here.
Okay.
And what he just said, in essence, correct me if I'm wrong or if you think I'm wrong, the Rockets are not out of the Kevin Durant stakes, but it makes it more complicated and puts probably more teams in the mix. And the reason for that is, again, forget all the details of all the aprons and caps and things like that. More teams are going to be able to, the Clippers released Paul George. That's how they got good all of a sudden again, because they didn't have to mess with all these aprons, which kind of limit the trades and the deals you can make. Like you can't do you can't do sign and trades and all this other stuff. So basically what this means is the Rockets aren't out of the deal, but more people are going to be able to make a deal for Kevin Durant.
And I think what you're saying is like, for what you would typically think you get back for a star player,
a bunch of picks,
you're not necessarily going to be able to take all those things back. You can get back a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
But like the idea of players and stuff, those things are going to be a little bit tougher in the get back. And so maybe more teams will be able to get in the sweepstakes, because what they're offering in that instance would not necessarily be the all the things that they're sending back, but also the ability and the flexibility that the Suns would be able to get back, the impetus for the trade. I still think the Rockets would have...
No, they're in the hunt.
Not even in the hunt. I still think they'd be the leader in the clubhouse here, because one, for whatever it is worth, mm-hmm. I think that Kevin Durant's desires would put him in a place where the Rockets would be appealing, right? This is a place that I think he likes, and then specifically he has a supreme respect for Ime Udoka, as I think a lot of people in this league do. But on top of that, the Suns, whenever you are a bad team in a sport that drafts, it is beneficial to have your badness be worth something, which is being able to use the height, the value of the pick that you're going to get for being bad for yourself. Right now, the Suns don't have that, because that is being conferred to the Rockets, right? The Rockets have the opportunity at that currently like ninth best draft position as it stands, or opportunity in the lottery with the Suns pick.
But
in order to get Kevin Durant, you might be able to offer them, hey, let's take this bad season and make it worth your while in getting your pick back. And I think no other team can do that for you in that
way. But that's fair, but the Suns are trying to get back to where they can build a roster again.
Sure.
And that means they need expiring contracts and salary dumps. Can the Rockets play that game? You know, can they offer anything? Yes, the picks, but they're not equipped to get into the business of offering these salary dumps and expiring contracts.
The things that would help them get
that's
some relief
the Suns
on the salary
want.
Cap.
Doesn't matter what Kevin Durant wants.
Sure.
The Suns want, hey, man, we got to get good again as soon as possible. So that's why I'm saying other teams can. Other teams can say, we can dump this guy, we can do this, you know, sign and trade, we can do this and that. So that's why the Rockets are not out of it, but it doesn't matter what Kevin Durant wants. The Suns want to be able to get back underneath that apron two and apron one and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point to make note of, because the Rockets have a lot of relatively young, talented players. Like that's what they're trading in.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have a ton, and I need to look at their salary cap table to see if they have any like you know, and I don't think you have any of those expiring deals with a large enough contract where you're getting the level of relief.
Whereas some other contending teams,
the salary cap,
some other contending teams that want Durant might go, well, we can do this sign and trade. We can dump this salary.
And you can quickly knock some of that money off of your cap.
Yeah. And then the Suns are happy. Yeah. And then that team gets Durant basically as a rental.
All right, so one of the things that's interesting with this is, like, we're talking about this as if it's a given that this team would want and utilize the services of Kevin Durant. There's enough people that are speaking in on the Twitch, the YouTube page. I know that people get mad about that. And the text line that they're out on Kevin Durant, 36 years old, you know, has had some injury issues. And, I mean, if you want to go to this place, which I don't know if it's entirely fair, when was the last time he got out of the second round of the playoffs with his teams? And of course, if you're going to do this in any sport, basketball is probably one of the ones that it's the most fair, because one player can impact the aptitude or the altitude of a team more than any other. How fair do you think that is? How fair do you think it is to ask if this team should even actually employ or try and employ the services of Kevin Durant?
I think it's both. And I don't mean to be wishy-washy, but, you know, listening to the guys this morning, I thought they brought up a good point. You know, he's almost an apples to apples comparison to what Peyton Manning was when he was traded. The Texans were involved, and he was traded to the Denver Broncos. 1 year, he was actually pretty good. You know, his first year was actually pretty good.
It was kind of legendary good a little bit too.
Second year, he wasn't, but they won the Super Bowl. You know, so that could be Kevin Durant. You know, and I think that is a good comparison to make. On the other hand, you know, to have Kevin Durant, even that really good or pretty good season, as you were talking about, with this squad, you might win it all.
I would consider
you
it.
You might win it all.
Yeah, I would consider it, but with all the assets I got, I would definitely look elsewhere and see who I can probably get for these picks, too, that could impact this thing. I would look around elsewhere, but I would consider all options.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's absolutely something that I think Rafael Stone has proven that he is willing to do, and it's going to be important to do. It just feels like, especially the caliber of player that you would want to add, especially, and I understand where people are coming from. This is an NBA team that is second in the West. But can I point you towards the Memphis Grizzlies, who, what was that, two seasons ago? They were in the exact same place that you were. A very young, talented team on the development. You're like, oh, man, where can this grow to? Second in the West? And they've seen that backslide that happens. These things are not necessarily a given, and you want to strike while the iron is hot. That is my personal perspective on this. But I understand, like, Kevin Durant has his warts, but I don't know that the perfect star player makes themselves available. Or maybe they do. Like, maybe it does. But I don't see a better option as of right this moment. And, of course, the beautiful thing is that you don't have to make that decision as of right this moment.
Right.
You get to see what the playoffs show you
who steps up, who shows more.
You get to see maybe who becomes more available than we had anticipated prior when you get to the offseason, what have you. But I still think that, taking what you have, and one of the nice things about this reporting, you said that it might get more teams involved, but I also think that it probably lowers the cost that the Rockets would have to ultimately unload.
Lowers the cost for everybody.
And you still have a ton. You still have a ton in your coffers to add Kevin Durant to where he's not being one of three guys that has to carry a Phoenix Sun team, or one of three guys that has to carry a Brooklyn Nets team where they don't have a supporting cast. You have a supporting cast, and now you're able to do this, where I think that would elevate the level of play, even at 37, that you would have with Kevin Durant.
The one thing I don't want to happen, unless it's the number one overall pick, I don't want them to sit there and just pick all these young players anymore, man.
I agree, 100%.
I think we got enough. And hell, Reed Shepard ain't even playing the minutes I thought he was going to play.
Yeah.
So unless it's like the number one overall pick.
And that's why it's attractive with Durant.
Yeah. So I'm fine with trading to get somebody else's experience.
Yeah, it still remains to be seen ultimately what the Rockets do. It's a great place to be if you're in a place where you're like, hey, one of the still probably top 15 to be conservative players in the league is a possibility for you. You're like, I don't know if I need the top 15 player on this team. It's a great place for the Rockets to be. They get back in. They're back in action tonight against the Lakers. We'll see if they run anybody of real, I guess, consequence per se out against the Lakers. But yeah, two more games until we get to playoff basketball for your Houston Rockets. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including another update as to what's happening at the Masters. And you want a chance to take a picture with Hakeem Olajuwon? We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into
Brought
what's
to
poppin'.
You by the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club, May 2nd through 4th.
Well, yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah. That's
Laramie Odutola.
Yeah.
That's a false start.
I'm it's every gonna... week, though. The Andre Ware.
That right. was awesome.
That was very good.
What a great pull
that
is.
Oh, that's so good. Also, good on the day. Bryson DeChambeau, 4-under through 8 on the day, 7-under for the tournament. Just 2 back of the leader, Justin Rose. So DeChambeau, the rollback of the golf ball, not stopping the big swinger there. Like it does feel like that is not really going to harm the guys who hit for distance. It's really going to harm the guys who don't, because they're also getting nerfed on the distance that they were already getting.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have to, they're just going to have to be really good with their irons and such in the short game, huh?
But that kind of helps, because so many of the big hitters are not going to be able to cut
corners and such.
Yeah, exactly. And really just make the course like, you know, a pitch and putt, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll see what it ultimately looks like. DeChambeau, as I mentioned, doing very well. Scottie Scheffler hasn't started on the day yet, but he's 4-under. Depending on how good he's going, he might be able to join those fellas at the top of the board. And just for our personal enjoyment, Cam Smith has indeed started going. Cameron Smith, Aussie golfer,
just started.
A couple of birdies for him through 2 on the day. One under
Take
for
that.
The tournament. He's above the projected cut line for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
All right. Some other things that are indeed popping. Let me see. Oh, did you see this? Obviously, the University of Houston, they're already getting ready for what's happening next year and hopefully trying to return to that national championship game 2025. Actually, I haven't checked where the tournament is happening next year. I did not remember.
And I can't remember.
Like, weirdly enough, I'm pretty sure I know where the women's tournament is happening. I don't know where the men's tournament is happening. Mm-hmm. Anyways, regardless, in the hopes to get there, Terrence Arsenal will not be on this Cougars team. He announced that he is entering the transfer portal. I imagine in some ways in response to the other guard, the Creighton transfer that the Cougs were able to secure earlier in the week. I think it was, what was it, Wednesday? When we got that news, and it does feel like that makes sense. He was probably projected to be a starter. Now you get a transfer in who is likely going to be a starter. There's only so many minutes to go around. It feels like he's probably going to find another space for himself to be able to get some opportunity to play. But Cougs, like they're trying to figure out what this roster looks like. It looks like there's going to be a lot of talent. And it's just going to be, you know, can you put together to have the same level of, I don't know, experience is not going to be exactly the same, but the same level of cohesion that you have
that's
with
it.
This club.
Yeah, that's it.
That you got this year. Some other things that are popping. It feels like, speaking of the Cougs, if you did not go to San Antonio, if you weren't at Bucky's a few times this weekend.
Either way.
You did
going
not.
Going and coming.
Yeah, it's like if you didn't happen to be at Bucky's where you had an opportunity to take a picture with Hakeem, which it seemed like he'd had a little residency, both on, what was it, Friday?
Yeah, going and coming, Saturday? He stopped at Bucky's and was taking pictures.
Pictures with a whole bunch of people.
Getting beaver nuggets and barbecue sandwiches. And
I don't know if he was doing all that. We also got to be very careful. You know, my man is indeed a Muslim, so I know he wasn't. You got to be careful and make sure everything is indeed right for him to eat. But no, you'll have an opportunity to take photos with him before the Sugarland Space Cowboys game tomorrow as he's throwing out first pitch. Actually, no, I believe it's the game today.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, where he's throwing out first pitch. So yeah, I think that it is when the gates open at 5:30, as memory serves, because of course my computer decides it doesn't want to cooperate in this moment. He'll be, I think there's the first number of fans get to take pictures with Hakeem, the Dream, Olajuwon. And then he'll, of course, throw out the first pitch for the Space Cowboys in their weekend series. That should be fun, getting an opportunity to take a picture with Keem. It's always fun seeing him out a little bit more because he could be a little
and
bit
reclusive.
And
he's been out more.
Yeah, he could be a little reclusive. We've seen him out a little bit more recently. Which
is awesome. And obviously some of that has to do with the Cougs, but, I mean, heck, he's going to Sugarland, man. He can hang out and take some pics there.
Yeah, I love it. How much better would this have been, though? And I hate to be this guy. How much better would it have been if they had won the championship?
We'd be having a parade today.
That is true.
Probably yesterday or today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, gates open at 5:30. Line for the photos will begin forming at 6. They're playing against the Isotopes, and it is the first 100 people in line.
All right.
Those are the numbers that are associated with this. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Just letting you guys know. But, yes, the weekend celebration of the Space Cowboys' first AAA National Championship.
How about that? Mm-hmm. First 2,000 fans of Friday's game also get a replica championship jersey. So, hey, good day to get out to the ballpark, ain't it?
That sounds like a lot of fun right there.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun things happening. And, if you don't get out tonight, get out tomorrow where Lance McCullers mm-hmm. is apparently starting. Mm-hmm. It'll be another rehab start for him as he is on his way to recovery and hopefully adding another solid starting rotation arm for the Astros who... obviously, I think the pitching has been fine, but with the injury to Spencer Arrighetti, you're going to lose him for about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. They'll see what it looks like. Obviously, he's not going to need surgery, which is nice, but he's going to be in a cast for a few weeks, and they're going to then do some more imaging and see where they go from there. Mm-hmm. But you're going to need in this intermittent 6 weeks or this intervening 6 weeks, I guess I should say, you're going to need starting pitchers, and so it'd be great if the sooner that Lance McCullers can get back. We'll see what they ultimately do, though, because Ryan Gusto is the man who starts tomorrow in mm-hmm. game two of this series against the Angels. But they're still not certain if he's going to be that guy. They're still stretching him out. Like, I don't know how many innings he goes. He might be basically an opener mm-hmm. tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle this, because Blue Ball's not on the 40-man roster either.
Right. Look, I think, with the series. By the way, Angels, one of the teams we mentioned earlier.
That's right. Knock them down a peg and get yourself back. That'd be a great
double.
They're
in front of you. It's Friday, so you got fireworks happening. Man, good weekend to get some baseball in here in the greater Houston area.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. All right. This was something interesting. Obviously, 2028, you'll see the Olympics come stateside. There'll be Los Angeles Olympics, at least when it comes to name. I know that there's some other things that'll be held around the great states, these great United States of mm-hmm. America. I think Oklahoma City just got the go-ahead to be the full host for a couple of events themselves.
Yeah.
So I know that that's going to be happening. But yeah, there's 17 new events that were approved for these Olympics.
17 new events, and I'm not going to go through them all, but I think there's some really interesting ones here. Some of them I'm just geeking out about, but some I think will be really interesting to you and a lot of our listeners. Mixed team golf. That sounds really intriguing to me. Golf is part of it. Mixed team gymnastics is going to be one of them for sure. And then, there's some boulder climbing. That one I want to see. Apparently, it's not rock climbing. It's like, how they scale the sides of these cliffs a lot of times? That's going to be an Olympic sport.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So
climbing.
They got the speed climbing. Yeah. They have boulder climbing.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So are you going to go start training for some of these? What's happening?
I don't think I think my boulder climbing days are over.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody said, "Where is Blue Ball?" Blue Ball is with the AAA.
Yeah. He's waiting.
That's fair. That is fair.
Impatiently, very impatiently.
I'm surprised he took this long.
He is indeed waiting for his opportunity.
He can't wait, to be honest.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Rail 610. I get condolences, mind you. We mentioned the national championship. Condolences to Slim Thug. I don't know if this was specifically that day, but did you see that his apartment got burglarized?
I did.
Earlier in the week?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew he was out, and I was like, was this Monday or Tuesday? Because I saw this. Mm-hmm. 11 p.m. on, let me see, April 8th being, that was Monday, wasn't it? No, that was Tuesday. So, I think that was Monday night. National championship was going on. Hey. I guess they knew the Slim Thug would be tapped in. They went and ran up on my man's house, man. That's crazy.
That's tough, man. And that's the thing.
Go ahead.
That's the thing about being a celebrity, too, man. If you posting stuff mm-hmm. and people see you out and about, they know you ain't at home.
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
And these are very, organized and conspired events a lot of times. We found that out in the NFL when they finally busted one ring.
Yeah, so I'm like, this makes me wonder, is there another ring or is this like individuals out here just trying to come up on something? But jewelry and cash taken from Slim Thug, which really sucks. But you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, all right, so is it Lions season or is this the biggest moment in Nick Caserio's draft life to date? We'll talk about what that means next.